The Holy Gospel is written in the ninth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anything in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elisha and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elisha." He did not know what he said, and they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love, listen to him." Suddenly they looked around and no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And they were coming down from the mountain. Jesus gave them orders to tell them, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning. Good to see you. We have some visitors, and then we have some who have returned from sickness. Good to have you back, and hope you continue to do well. This is an interesting verse, because this is a part where we've probably heard it over and over, but this is a part where Jesus really is revealed as who he is. You know, transfiguration means to complete change, to change the form of appearance into beautiful or spiritual state. Here, and even in the hymn that we sang, it said that he was brighter than the angels. And we see photographs and things, not photographs, but paintings and people's interpretation of how bright angels are. And it's amazing. And I don't know if you've seen anything white. You know, we got white shirts, white robes. But he was whiter than those. I remember him being in one state where they had snow. And the snow was so bright when the sun hit it, it made you want to wear sunglasses. And that's probably the closest thing that I can think of how dazzling and bright it was. 3 disciples got the pleasure of seeing that. I don't know where Andrew was, but Peter, James, and John. Peter thinks it's a good time for them to build shelters for everybody. But that's not what the message was. Other Gospels will tell us that Elijah and Moses were speaking to Jesus about his coming death. Not the best subject you could think about at the time, is it? Moses represented the law of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do with the law? He fulfilled the law, every bit of it. Elijah represented the prophets. And remember, throughout Scripture, even at times where others said, "Oh, let somebody go and tell my brothers about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is," he said, "You had the what? You had the prophets. And you didn't listen to them." But everything Jesus did fulfilled the prophets. Then God himself speaks. And what do we learn from God himself as he talks to the disciples? Number one, this is my what? Okay, no doubt. It's not a prophet. It's just not an angel. It's God's son. Number two, not only is God's son, but there's a relationship we talked about between the Father and the Son, and it's built on what? Love. This is my son whom I love. And some of you can understand it a little bit. You've experienced love in your life. And what that means, But it was important for the Father to say that what his Son has done of coming to earth, going through this and looking ahead to die for us, he was loved by the Father. It's my Son, I love him, and now how do we respond? Exactly. Listen to him. And that's where the disciples were. And we could go through, and that's pretty much the summary of that little group. And then I thought, what about in our lives? Have you ever had God tell you something through his word, through your prayer life, as events came through, and you wonder, is this of God? Or is this something I just thought about? Or is this something I'd like to do or wished about, but I don't know if it's about of God or not? So what I want to do is give you some things just to think about and add to your life and do a little checklist when things come in your life. Is that from God? Can we do that today? And you got room there, maybe. I like the part, if you think about Samuel. Samuel, when he was younger, he said he heard God speaking to him. So he went to the priest, Eli, and he says, I think I heard God. I think God wants to use me. Remember, Samuel was dedicated to God by his mother, remember? She was waiting for a child. And then as Samuel was growing, he said, I think I heard God. Eli says, rest. Samuel, go lie down. If God's calling you and he's speaking to you, tell him your servant is listening, and guess what? He'll speak to you again. You know, we're the type of people always get busy and rush and do things and want to make the answers known. Us as men want to solve the problems. We don't want to wait and listen or take time, but I thought it was interesting. Samuel, take a break. You know, the psalmist tells us, be still and know that I am what? That I'm God. You ever take a nap? Anybody gonna admit that? You take a nap? As you get older, I'll tell you what, naps are good, right? I'm finding that out now. Naps are good. You get a little tired, and you know what? I'm going to go lay down. But it also is a time where you can meditate. Meditate on God's word and just relax. Turn the TV off. I know we're used to background noise. Turn it off. Turn the music off. Turn the phone off. Stop and listen. And put your heart in meditation to God and have him speak again and confirm the things that you may hear or feel. So I thought that was pretty good. Psalmist says this, there's a way that appears to be right, but there also is a way that can lead to death. We need to discern what we're listening to. Is it good for us or bad for us? So here are some ways. You ready? Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Whatever's been put on your heart, whatever you're thinking of, or whatever you're doing in service, does it agree with God's word? That's extremely important. Luke 21:33 tells us, God's word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. Is it true to God's word? And as you're studying God's word in your quiet time here at church, Bible studies, you put that knowledge to use and say, does it conflict with what I've already been taught by God's word? Or do I need to do a little study to find out? Number one, does it agree with God's word? Number two, does it make me more like Christ? You know those bands that came out a while back? What would Jesus do? Remember those? In this case, what God is putting on my heart or what I'm thinking about, if I'm listening to what God is saying, is it going to make me more like Christ? Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Isn't that better, the way to deal with people? Deal with folks as Christ would deal with them, not as what we might personally think, but not what we personally like or dislike, but in the way that Christ would deal with them. You might have to stop before you speak. It may cause you to act differently. James 3:14, 17. James is that part of Scripture that tells us we ought to be living. If we're Christians, live like a Christian. He says, he talks about, don't harbor bitterness. So what's coming across? Is it making me bitter? Does he give me envy? Selfish ambition? Or is it from the wisdom of God? It's pure, peace, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Good way to check those things is this from God. The next is, does my church family confirm it? We have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ. We took one in as a member today, as a sister. They become close to us, and sometimes what we need to do is that with closeness, we ask, do you see this as something from God? The psalmist tells us in the presence of counselors, many counselors, it's a good thing. Ephesians 3:10 says, his intent is now through the church, manifold wisdom of God should make you known the authorities of heaven's realms. Proverbs 11:9, with their mouth they confess to destroy their neighbors, but the knowledge of the righteous escape. What do others say? I came across this, I think I'm doing this for the Lord, I think God is telling me to do this, I'm trying to listen, what do you think? Then, is it the way, and I thought this was me, and this came from Rick Warren, is it the way God shaped me? I thought this was interesting. Shape means, is it part of my spiritual gifts? Each of us has abilities, and that is the A in there. So we have spiritual gifts. Is it of my heart? Is it the abilities? Is it part of my personality? And is it something I've experienced? That's the shape of you. Does it fit in that line? And there are some things that could come up. It doesn't fit. Each of us has gifts. We don't have them all. In Galatians chapter 5, it tells us that there are 9 different flavors of one fruit from God. Examine them. See what's appropriate for you. Then do I sense God's peace about it? 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. So when God asks us to listen to him, put it for that test. Litmus test it. Find out it's the right thing for you. Pray about it. Seek it. And as James would tell us, do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Guide us as we listen to the word and then put our feet into action. In Jesus' name, amen.